Okay, this is Yad Deshmaya. So my school in learning once a week with the halacha with the Shana Bet guys, we figured we would start at a topic that we're learning in the Kolel. But basically what we're going to do is take Basar B'Chalav and go through some of the fundamental issues that we discussed in the Kolel, but do it in a way that people that aren't preparing the Maror Mekomos and could still feel that they could experience an introduction to halachas of Basar B'Chalav. The goal is eventually to really get to halach l'maisa discussions as well, the common issues that come up in Basar B'Chalav. Okay. In your booklet that you have in front of you is three sets of pieces in the Torah, one in Parshas Mishpatim, the other Kisisa, and the other in Parshas Re'eh. And interestingly, the Torah HaKadosha tells us, Loi sevashal gedi bechalevimo. You're not allowed to cook a goat in its mother's milk. The Gemara goes to long ends to show that we're not talking about particularly a gedi, a young goat, in its mother's milk, but we're talking about any kosher animal, according to most opinions, in milk in general. That the pasuk doesn't mean lo sevashal gedi bechalevimo literally. The question, though, is why does the Torah repeat it three times? Why does it say lo sevashal gedi bechalevimo? Bechura, one time should be enough. The other question is that does that mean that cooking is prohibited, or is we know that we're not allowed to eat meat and milk together? So for that, there's a very famous Gemara. The Gemara says, it's on the edition that's in front of you, is page 230. That's, I believe, Kuf Yud Gimel Amabez, where you have, Jonah was gracious in photocopying and marking off. There you have Devei Rabbi Shmuel Tana. The Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel, they taught, the fact that Torah says it three times, is coming to tell us three different Isurim. Echad Isra Achila, Ve'echad Isra Ana, Ve'echad Isra Bishul. One is telling you the Isra of eating, the other is telling you the Isra of Hana, and the third is telling us the Isra of cooking. What should our follow-up question then be? What would our follow-up question then be? So why did the Torah just write it three different ways? One time it should say Lo Sevashel, the other time it should say Lo Socha, and the third time it should say Lo Sehenem. So the answer to that question is that the halacha is that the Isur, as the Tur brings out in the beginning of Simin Sadi Zayin, it's not, you don't have that photocopied in front of you. The reason why the Torah says it three different ways, the Shulchan Aruch also has it. You don't need the Tur. If you take a look in Simin, you've got Simin Pei Zayin you have in front of you. I said Sadi Zayin before, I apologize. That's what we're up to in the Kolol now. I mean, Pei Zayin, that the Torah says, Kasav Atayr Lo Yisavashal G'di B'chalev Yimai Shalish Pamim, Echal Yisra Bishol, Echal Yisra Achila, Echal Yisra Ana. V'haytzi Achila B'loshem Bishol, why does it take out the word of the Achila and say it in the Loshem of Bishol? Should just say, Lo Sevashal, Lo Sochal, Lo Sehenem. Loimar, to tell you, Shein Asam in Atayr El Adarach Bishol. This is very, very important. And that is the only time it's Basar B'chalav Mahadrin, if you will. In other words, Basar B'chalav, that's Asar Minatorah, is if it's been processed through cooking. If it's not been processed through cooking, then in such a case, it's not Asar Minatorah. So a common example of this is the halacha of Kavush. Now, let's talk about two cases. If you have pig fat that was sitting for 24 hours with kosher meat, so the halacha is kavush kimavushal, that the Torah says that tam, the taste, can be transferred both through heat as well as through soaking. So the halacha would be that meat that sat with pork for 24 hours would have the din of pork based on the din of tam ki'ikr. What is this din of tam ki'ikr? The Gemara in Pesachim tells us on Daf Mem Dalet on the Beis, the Pasuk says, Mishras Anavin, that a Nazir is not allowed to eat bread that was soaked with wine. Says the Gemara, but at the end of the day, he didn't drink a revius of wine. So what is the reason that that's usher? Says the Gemara, a famous term that we should all know, tam ki'ikr, that the tam is considered the ikar. That means that even though you didn't drink a revius, If, however, the item that you ate has the tam of that which is aser, so then in such a case, that is going to be aser. It's a question of whether we paskin like that, Gemara. Rashi says we don't. Rabbeinu Tam and Avodah Zarah Daf Samach Zayin says that we do. We paskin that we do. Halacha l'maisa l'maisa, and therefore the din of tam ki'ikr is d'oraisa. So if the din of tam ki'ikr is d'oraisa, so then I would have thought that when it comes, and therefore let's go back to the pork case. So in the case of the pork that's soaked with meat, so then in such a case, then that is an iser d'oraisa of pork. If it has the taste of pork, how would it have the taste of pork? Simply soaking 24 hours is enough to give it the taste. However, what happens if you soaked meat and milk together? So that's exactly what this psak of the Mechaber is. As the shach develops, if you soaked, then in such a case it will be aser, but it would be aser midrabbanan, not aser min haTorah. So, if you're going to say, Rebbe, I only came for halacha l'maisa, I'm not so interested in all the details, and mirtz Hashem, when I get into kolol in three more years from now, then I'll be interested. So I'll say, that's a mistake. Okay. And then I'll say, but there is an afkamina lahalacha as well. The Rama writes, kol basar b'chol she'ein asa min haTorah mutar bahana. There is a nafkamina. If where it's a case of an iser d'oraisa, so then in such a case, one would not be allowed to derive benefit because you have the iser of hana. However, if we're talking about a case of kavush kimavushal, so then in such a case, then it's aser midrabbanan, then you would be allowed to derive benefit. Hana would be mutter. So this would be a nafkamina of whether it was derech bishul or whether it was not derech bishul. Nafkamina being, if it was derech bishul, then it's nisa d'oraisa. Then hana would be prohibited. If, however, it's d'rabbanan, so then in such a case, hana would be permissible. So this comes up. What's the nafkamina? Let's say you realize that you made a mistake and you, by mistake, made basar b'chol. So first of all, is it possible for a person, by simply making basar b'chalav to be over Issur min haTorah? Yes. If they cooked basar b'chalav together, so then they were over in Issur d'oraisa. So let's say somebody realized that they did that. So they were b'shogeg. So now they want to know, what are they supposed to do with that basar b'chalav? So it actually depends. If the basar b'chalav they made was through traditional cooking, so then in such a case, that's an Issur d'oraisa, then they would not be able to share it with a Gentile. Because it's aser ba'ana. Not only that, the poskim say you can't give it to your dog. That's also ba'ana. Not only that, the poskim, the Mishnah Berurah writes in Hilchos Pesach, you can't even give it to a stray dog. Why? The Mishnah Berurah liked animals because he says at the end of the day, any person that would feed a stray dog gets some type of benefit that they're feeding a dog that's missing a meal. That's what the Mishnah Berurah writes in Hilchos Pesach. He therefore says, it's aser ba'ana. You can't give to a stray dog either. So the poskim say the same thing in regards to basar chalav. You wouldn't be able to give to a stray dog. What's he supposed to do? So that's a Mishnah in Temura. The Mishnah in Temura says you got to throw it into the fire or bury it. You have to bury it. And the many poskim say that the best thing is to actually bury the basar chalav. So that would be in regards to Nisud HaRais. However, if it's an Nisud HaRabbanan, so then in such a case, you'd be able to give it to a friend of yours that wasn't Jewish, or someone bumps out in the house, and so on. So then in such a case, you'd be able to give them the Basar B'chalav. That would be the Nafkamina. Now, let's go to the opening part of the Isser of Bishul, and try to understand the nature of this Isser Bishul better. So over here, the Gemara, we learned Devei Reb Yishmael. Devei Reb Yishmael says that there are three different psukim. One is an Isser Bishul, the other is an Isser Achil, the other is an Isser of Hana. The Marcheshes was one of the giants of Vilna. He was killed by the Nazis, Al Kiddush Hashem. The Marcheshes in his Sefer points out that there's actually another source in the Gemara, and it might affect on how we look at the Isser of Bishul. And this will actually be a nafkamina for those of you who are cooking in biology lab. Wow. Who would have thought Ravashi is going to have direct nafkaminas in terms of cooking in biology lab? So let's take a look. Kuf Yudalad on the base. You didn't know that Ravashi went to YU? They didn't convince you that? Okay. Amar Ravashi. Go ahead. Says the Gemara. Amar Ravashi. Minayin l'basav v'chalav she'asav achila. How do we know that basav v'chalav is asav achila? Shenemar. By the way, I'm... I'm very proud that I went to Yeshiva Rabbein Yitzchak Chanan. I wasn't saying that cynically. Shenemar lo yisoichal kol toyeva, kol shetayavti lecha, hareyu bebal toicha. Don't eat any abomination. Anything that I view as an abomination is aser for you to eat. Now notice, what Rav Ashi does is he introduces the Isra Basar B'chalav in an entirely different way than Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael, how did he understand? Rabbi Yishmael understood that the Isser of Basar B'chalav is both is Bishul, Hana, and Achila, three different Isurim. Those three different Isurim are simply learned by the fact that the Torah said it three times, Lo Savasho. Why didn't it just say Lo Sochal? Why? To tell you that the Isser is Derech Bishul. That's what Rabbi Shmuel says. Maybe we'll add a little bit to understand Rabbi Shmuel even a little bit more shortly. But Rav Ashi has a totally different root. Rav Ashi doesn't even start with the Pasuk Lo Savasho B'Dibachal Yigmo. He says, how do I know that I'm not allowed to eat? He quotes another Pasuk. The Pasuk is in Devarim Yudalid. The Pasuk is in Parshas Re'eh. Let's take a look if we got it on our page. Let's see. Let's see if Jonah's a Navi. No, he's not a Navi. Okay. So the Pasuk says, Lo Sochal Kol Toeva. The Pasuk says, don't eat any Toeva. Where is the Pasuk saying that? The Pasuk is saying that at the end of the prohibition of eating insects. So over there, the Pasuk says, concludes, don't eat any Toeva. Okay. So anything that's disgusting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're not supposed to eat. Rav Ashi's understanding that we're not only talking about insects. We're talking about all foods, that's a Toeva. Okay. Says Rav Ashi, is Basar B'chalav a Toeva? Yes. Because the Torah already told me, Lo Sevashel Gedi B'chalav Imo. The Torah doesn't want you to put meat and milk together. There are very different explanations from the Tamei HaMitzvos of why we're not allowed to put meat and milk together. That we'll discuss another time, or we'll leave it for when discussing Chumash. But Rav Ashi says, for whatever reason, the Torah already made it an abomination. So says Rav Ashi like this. Listen to his interesting chat. Says Rav Ashi, what is disgusting? Lo sevashel gedi b'chalav imo. Why the Torah said three times? That's not my problem, says Rav Ashi. Somebody else will take care of that. But that's not how I know that's aser to eat basar b'chalav. Where do I know that's aser to eat basar b'chalav? Lo sochal kol toeva. The Torah already called it a toeva. So you have one iser called lo sevashel, and the other iser called lo sochal kol toeva. This is how Rav Ashi understands the psukim. Okay. If that's so, Rabosai, let me tell you the following pshat in Rabbi Yishmael, and you tell me whether Rav Ashi is going to agree with this pshat. Says the Sefer Ksav HaKabbalah. We're getting to Halacha Lamaisa. Says the Sefer Ksav HaKabbalah. One of my passions is that showing Pshat and Pasuk and the Lomdus and the Gemara and Halacha Lamaisa are all one thing. So unfortunately, some people walk around and they think there's one thing called someone who knows Tanakh, somebody else who's a London, he knows how to read Gemara, and then there's someone else who knows Halacha. So my great Rabbeim were not that way. My great Rabbeim knew Tanakh, they knew Shas, and they knew Halacha. And the reason for it is because it's really, that's all Torah. Torah, it's not, Gemara, what is Gemara, right? We spoke about this on a Friday night. What is Gemara? Gemara is really Chazal's understanding of what the Torah is telling us. That's what Gemara is. So to really know, you can't know Gemara without knowing Tanakh. You can't know Gemara without knowing Tanakh. And what is Gemara? Gemara is the desire to get to Halacha Lemaisa. So Halacha Lemaisa 2,000 years ago was one thing, and Halacha Lemaisa today is the same thing. It's all Hainu Hach. Don't let people tell you that there's Gemara people, there's Halacha people. That's not true. Okay. Now I'm done with that was the end of the polemic. Comes along the Sefer Ksav HaKabbalah. Who is the Sefer Ksav? And also history, Jewish history is also part of Torah. So now, a minute of Jewish history. Who is the Sefer Ksav HaKabbalah? Beautiful, beautiful Sefer. It's nothing to do with Kabbalah. Now it won't sell on the internet, but Afal Pikin. Okay, Ksav HaKabbalah. Who is the Sefer Ksav HaKabbalah? The author of the Sefer Ksav HaKabbalah was a Rav in Germany. And he was a fantastic Talmud Chacham who devoted his life showing that drashos are not just that Chazal. You know, every once in a while you see a drash and you'll say, how did the Gemara get that from the Pasuk? So the Sefer Ksav HaKabbalah does everything he can to show why the drashos of Chazal were based on the language of the Pesukim themselves. So he says something amazing. He says like this. He says, what does the word Bishul mean? You tell me. How would you translate Bishul? To cook. He says, if you look in Tanakh, that's not how the word Bishul is only used. The word Bishul is also used to describe as making something right, ripe and ready. So for example, the Pasuk describes in Yoel, you have to know Yoel, okay, that's but the Ksav HaKabbalah knew Yoel. He describes that it's in Trey Asar. He describes that when there the Pasuk, and not only that, the Pasuk also uses in Bereishis, 3 points for someone who could find in Bereishis, that the Pasuk describes that when the wheat is entirely ready and prepared, there in Yoel there was grasshoppers that came and ate all the wheat that was ripe and prepared. The word mivushal is used, that the wheat was mivushal, the wheat was entirely cooked. But it doesn't mean cooked. What does it mean? It was entirely ripe. Says the Ksav HaKabbalah, lo sivashal means don't prepare to be ready for human consumption. So if the Torah says lo sivashal, what it's referring to is not only the preparation of the basar b'chalav, it's also the consumption of it. Bishul means not cooked. Bishul is just a description of human consumption. And therefore, if it says it three times, it would be only natural that one would be the actual preparation itself, and the other would be the what you do with it when it's ripe, and that is either havanah or achila. That's what the Ksav HaKabbalah writes. Okay. Whether we take a look, he says it on the Pasuk in Parashas Mishpatim. Whether we go with the Ksav HaKabbalah or not, either way, Rabosai, what would Rav Ashi say to Tana Deve Reb Yishmael? He would say, no.
Just
all the Torah, not like the Ksav HaKabbalah. When the Torah says lo sevashel, it means cook. That, according to Rav Ashi, it means just cook. How do I know it's also b'achila? Not because it says it three times. Rather, how do I know? Because the Torah says lo sochal kol toeva. Good. So far, so good, Rabbi Osai. There isn't a Gemara Chulin in this room, is there?
There's a Shas.
There's a Shas? Beautiful. Okay, I'm going to keep on going while you bring me the Shas. Now, Rabosa, what would you say about the following phenomena? Let's say somebody cooks, but you know 100%, thank you very much, you know 100% that when this guy is cooking, he is not going to eat it. So I'll tell you what I even say. Is he over an issur d'oraisa or is he not? So I would say that according to Tana Deve Reb Yishmael, maybe there's room to say that the only time there's an Isser Bishul is if it comes into Achila, because we say Bishul also means Achila. So maybe Bishul and Achila are directly connected to each other. And in fact, the Kesef Mishnah writes this in the Rambam. The Rambam says as follows, that the reason why that the Torah says Lo Sivashel is if it's Aser to cook, certainly the Rambam, the beginning of Perek Tes, I didn't photocopy this, the Ram Perek Tesma Chalos Asuras writes that if it's Asur to cook, certainly you're not allowed to eat it. In other words, the Rambam understands that Bishul is the first step towards Achila. It could very well be, the Kesef Mishnah writes, that if you're, that Bishul is Asur, according to the Rambam, because Bishul is the step that brings you to Achila. According to the Kesef Mishnah, it sounds like, this is the Kesef Mishnah in Hilchos Tumas HaMeis, it sounds like that the Isser Bishul is a siyag, is like a geder to the Isser of Achila. It's a way in which to prevent the person from eating. If that's so, Rabosai, now we can make sense of a fascinating psach of Ramosha Soloveitchik. take a look at the back of the booklet. Reb Shechter's second sefer in honor of Rav Soloveitchik's Torah called Nipnine Arav. He writes in Basar B'Cholov, in bold, that the following shaila is presented to Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. We had a person who went to biolab, and in lab, they cooked the chemical test was testing basar and chalav, and you heated it. But it was definitely not something that anybody was going to eat. So in such a case, is it permissible to cook those ingredients if they have both basar and chalav? I found that this shaila was also discussed in Mea Shearim. It was discussed in the YU laboratory, and it was discussed in Mea Shearim. Where was it discussed in Mea Shearim? There was a great tzaddik, the Chabina Rav. The Chabina Rav was mechutin with Rabbi Nachum Zemba. He was one of the Bikiyim, greatest Bikiyim after the post, pre-Holocaust and post-Holocaust. He survived. He escaped. And he was known as one of the biggest poskim Yerushalayim. To this day, he was a chassid. There's a chassidish yeshiva called the Chabina Yeshiva. He has the following shaila. Once upon a time, kashrus wasn't as easy as it is today. And there were many things that were imported into Israel that there was no way you were going to be able to have a mashkiach go to where it was imported from and track things down. Now we send mashkichim three quarters away around the world. It's crazy. You know, you have mashkichim living in the Philippines, you have mashkichim living in Africa, and so on, all watching the production of food. Once upon a time, there weren't enough Jews around. The Nazis had basically had killed a good amount of us. There just simply weren't enough Jews to go around, halfway around the world. And not only that, even in Switzerland, there weren't a lot of Jews to monitor the kashrus. So they used to import chocolates here in Israel. And interestingly, this chocolate, there was a concern that not milk chocolate might have been fine, leaving aside Chalav Yisrael. But there was concern that the chocolate, the fanciest Swiss chocolates, were made out of animal fat as well. That there were animal fat that was put in the chocolate. So that's a real shaila. Basar b'chalav mamish in the chocolate. But this patent is 70 years old. Someone realized that if you cook the chocolate with a particular enzyme, it will immediately indicate, like a bio experiment, like a chemistry experiment. It'll change colors. It'll indicate that there's animal fat inside. So here's the shaila that was presented to Chabina Rav. Are you allowed to check the chocolate if it has animal fat inside by cooking it, and then the color of that enzyme will change? And then you'll know that's basar b'chalav. So if it's not, so then they're ready to put, in Mea Shearim, they're ready to put their badatz hashgach on it. And if it's basar b'chalav, so then you got to think of how to get rid of it. And you'll get rid of it. Okay, fine. But what's a shaila? The shaila is bishul basar b'chalav. So comes along the Chabina Rav and he gives the same thing that Rav Moshe Soloveitchik said. And he said that since the bishul there is not being done with any gold to eat, hafuch, the moment in which you do the bishul and you see that it is basar b'chalav, you're going to toss it out. So in such a case, he says it's mutter. So that's why we paskin. That is indicative that we paskin like Reb Yishmael, says the Marcheshes. Says the Marcheshes that we paskin like Rav Ashi. You know, as he holds, Rav Cheshe says, according to Rav Ashi, this would be bishul basar b'chalav, because the bishul basar b'chalav has nothing to do with the eating. According to Rabbi Yishmael, the achilon, the bishul goes directly hand in hand. According to, however, the opinion of Rav Ashi, the two don't go hand in hand. So take a look in Mipnini Arav, basar b'chalav ma'isa b'student Yehudi b'university shal yishomer mitzvahs ratzal adas in mutal alvash basar b'chalav shalo tzarech achila. To do a science test, what is the Rambam writing? Perik. Oh, here's the Rambam that I quoted to you before. He says, Klomer afilu bishul aser ve'ein tzar klomer achil aser. So Rambam learns that when the Torah says lo sevashel, the Torah is telling you lo sevashel in order to eat. In other words, it's a kal v'chomer. The Torah is certainly achila is aser, and bishul is aser to tell you that you shouldn't come to eat. Okay. And that's what he says in the bold words. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik explained in the bold words, Rak ha'achana la'achilas basar b'cholav. It's a'achana for achilas basar b'cholav. Fascinating, no? Fascinating. Okay. This is our introduction to how it appears in the Torah, all the way to this fascinating halacha l'maisa discussion. Yes?
Sorry. Would people even extend that definition to like Shabbos?
No,
you can't.
No, because this is particular to it would be particular to Basar B'chalav. It's a good question, but the answer is no. Yeah.
So normally the Torah doesn't write the halacha as a geder. Normally they present the halacha and the Rabbanan or Chazal make the gedarim. Why would the Torah write the pasuk as a geder in itself?
I'll give you another example of that where you have a geder. By the way, Rav Yosef Engel has a full essay. You guys heard of Yosef Engel? Rav Yosef Engel is one of the Gaone Poland. He has brilliant, brilliant Chidushei Torah. His names of his farm are Otzris Yosef, and his most famous sefer is the name is eluding me right now. But either way, Rav Yosef Engel has a whole in that sefer whose name is eluding me right now. Rav Yosef Engel has a whole large essay where he brings down many examples where the Isser Torah itself is a geder for another Isser. Here, you're right, that here it's even bigger chiddush. Because here we're saying that if you're not doing hachana la'achila, then it's not an Isser Bishul. You could have argued that that's not what Rabbi Shmuel is saying at all. You could have said that all Rabbi Shmuel is saying is that Bishul is normally preparation for achila, but if you don't do achila, you're also over the Isser Bishul. That's why this psak is a big chiddush. Or you could understand, no, you could understand that when the Rambam says that Bishul is just the step before Achila, the Rambam is telling me, right, and the Rambam says, Pashat Achila is Aser. If the Torah Asers Achila, Bishul is certainly Achila. So then the Rambam is telling me more. The Rambam is telling me that the Iser Bishul is only if it comes to Lidei Achila. Because otherwise, what's the Rambam's Kal V'Chomer? The Rambam's Kal V'Chomer is hard to understand. And that's what the Kesef Mishnah writes, Bishul is there as a code word for achila. Kesef Mishnah writes this because Kesef Mishnah asks the kasha. How could the Rambam say it's a kal v'chomer? We have a rule: ein onshin min adin. You don't get malkos from a kal v'chomer, and you get malkos and lo sevashel b'di b'chalim. So he says the Rambam doesn't mean it's a real kal v'chomer. The Rambam means that bishul is a code word for achila. If that's so, that bishul is a code word for achila, it could be that bishul and achila have to directly go together. Okay, Rabosa, let's start a new topic. Everybody can jump in. Here we go. We continue on in Shulchan Aruch. In Shulchan Aruch, we have some limitations of the Isser of Achila. Basar b'chalav. Eina noeg, ela bibsar behema tahora, b'chalav behema tahora. The only time there is an Isser D'oraisa is if the animal is kosher and the milk is kosher. Aval basar tahora b'chalav tmeya, o basar tmeya b'chalav tahora mutarim min haTorah, by the way. That's, Jonah, you wanted to get a heter out of this. The next page says mutarim min haTorah. It's a mutar min haTorah, but it's asur midrabanan. So if you have basar chalav Tahora bebehema tmeya, or vice versa. So then, in such a case, it's mutter min haTorah. Okay. Why? So Chazal darshin lo sevasho gadi b'chalev imo, that it only is the kosher animal with the kosher milk. Again, what would the nafkamina be? Hana. That hana would be mutter if it's non-kosher milk with kosher meat. Okay. Rabosai. What do you think about this shayla? Practical halacha. We're going from the theory all the way to practical halacha. What would you say about this? What happens if you have dog food. Dog food that's made out of meat. Is that kosher meat? Probably not. Why is it probably not kosher meat? For two reasons. Very, very important words that a lot of people mix up. And that it's funny that there's some instances where people... It's okay, I'll do without the eraser and marker. Until people really learn this subject, they really don't know these definitions. We call food that's not kosher. What do we call food that's not kosher?
Treif.
Is that the correct thing? No. Was treif mean? Where's the word treif come from?
It's meat that was turned into not kosher.
Treifa, maybe?
Ah, treifa. What is treifa? That's what I always thought, but that's not accurate. What does treifa mean? What is treifa? Treifa means an animal, or for that matter, applies to a human being as well, that is on its way to death. So, la halacha, an animal that is not going to live for an extended period of time, is called a treifa. You have in Sanhedrin, the halacha is that a Reuven is chayiv misa if he kills Shimon, only if Shimon was a living being. If Shimon, let's say, was suffering from, had a punctured lung that nobody noticed, no one saw, but he wasn't going to live for very long, so then in such a case, and Reuven's not chayiv misa, because you're only chayiv misa for ratzicha if you kill someone who's not a treifa. So treifa means someone who has a fatal injury or disease that they're not going to live. That is why we check the animal after shechita. The famous thing is that we check the lungs to see if the lungs don't have any holes inside. My grandfather, Alasham, was a shochet, and we have a picture of him blowing the lungs. You blow the lungs. It's pretty wild. The lungs are a balloon. Our lungs inside of ourselves are a balloon. And you could blow the lungs and they blow up like a balloon. Of course, what happens when a balloon has a hole in it? It doesn't blow up. So too, that's about 3-4 minutes. Is that okay? So that's what happens in regards to lungs. So comes along the
That's treifa.
Very good. What happens if you have an animal that is not has not been slaughtered properly? That's a different word. That's called nevela. When we talk about meat that's not kosher, when we talk about ground beef that's not kosher on the market, people call it treif. That's wrong. What should it be called?
Nevela,
that's what it should be called. That it wasn't slaughtered properly. That's a mistake. Okay, so we have treifa and nevela. Rabosai, for next week, a fascinating shaila. Dog food that has meat, the odds are it's not from kosher meat. Why? Because kosher meat costs 2 or 3 times regular meat. So what is it made out of? What's the halachic term? Yeah. It's nevela. Here's a question, Rabosai. Do you need hashgach on your dog food? So what will you need hashgacha from? Not that it was slaughtered properly, but nowadays with processing, there's often milk that's put inside. And what did we learn? Pasuk b'chol is mutar b'ana or aser b'ana?
It's cooked aser.
It's aser b'ana. So if that's so, do you need an OU on your dog food? By the way, one of the reasons it might be dangerous is someone's going to think it's an OU, he's going to eat it, he'll be over the Issa d'Oraisa of Nevela. Right? But do you need, they're going to have to make a new sign. O-U-D-E-E. I don't know. It's going to go on forever. But they're going to need to make a new sign that says that it's kosher to feed your dog. Or no. That's a continuation of today's topic. Baruch Fuchs's shir is ready to start. So Rabosai, let's steig on this topic and this week, and we'll make a new set of books here.